I have a book back there. It's called Fear No Evil. I was a street preacher for 27 years, seen thousands of people just like your pastor come alive, come into the ministry. I've worked on the streets in all 50 states and 15 countries around the world. Over 30 million people heard my voice proclaim the gospel outside the four walls of the church. We have former prostitutes that are teaching Sunday school this morning, former gangbangers that are pastoring churches this morning, people of all walks of life, because Jesus changes lives. Man changes behavior, but we're not into behavior modification. We're into the new creation. We're into Jesus changing our life. And listen to me, Christianity is not normal. Christianity is not boring. If you're bored, you are not born again. Born again is an exciting, a thrilling, a faith-filled life. Faith is believing that which you can't see. Faith is believing in a God that you don't understand. Faith is walking on water when you know there's alligators underneath. That's faith. And you know what? That's exciting. It may scare the bejesus out of you. It may scare the hell out of you. But it's awesome and it's exciting. You know, I'm on my, that's my motorcycle out there. How many of you remember last year I came through? I was on my way home from Alaska. Well, every year we have an outreach we do in Sturgis. A friend of mine owns a Harley-Davidson dealership in Pennsylvania. And we go out and we change oil for free. They bring their oil and filter and we put it up on lifts, change the oil, clean them up, and send them on their way. And we pray with each person. And we share the plan of salvation. We give out tracts and talk to them about Jesus. And I have a picture that depicts one of them. If you can throw that photograph up there, Andy. This guy, the Support 81 Mesa, that's the Hell's Angels. That's a Hell's Angel right there. And I have a picture of his bike with the Hell's Angels on it. And that's me and another guy, Harold, and we're praying for him. And you see, it says Property of Jesus, Sturgis Free Oil Change. We're not trying to hide who we are or what we're doing. If you pull up with us, you know what you're getting, baby. But that four-letter F word, free, what were you thinking? It draws them in. That's a man who's married, has three children, his wife is pregnant, and I'm asking him, why would you want to stoop so low to be one of Hell's Angels when you could be one of God's servants? You're serving a guy that got the living snot kicked out of him by Jesus. The Bible says we made an open display of him. So how many people you know that get to sit down and tell a Hell's Angel you're serving a loser? And then he agrees to pray with you. I'm telling you, my life is way cool, folks. It's way cool. Some of us don't walk across the street and help the neighbor when he's trying to get his mower started and he's out there cussing and kicking at it. Some of us don't walk across the driveway to help somebody. You know what I mean? And what does God do for? What did God do for you? What did he do for us so that we could be saved? So that we could have peace? Listen, I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. I was a pervert. I was in trouble with the law. I was not a nice guy. I was violent. I was mean. I was ugly. I was rude. I was obnoxious. I was crippled. And God looked down from heaven and said, man, I want you. I want you. And he went to great lengths to get Denny Nisley. I have claw marks and heel marks dragging my feet, clawing and fighting all the way across the state of Pennsylvania, saying, I don't want to be a Christian. I've seen too many. I know what they're like. And God says in Romans 11:11, he says, God sent salvation to the Gentiles. How many Gentiles we got in here? To make the Jews. How many Jews we have in here? I love you, sweetheart. It's your fault that I got the gospel. He says, I have sent salvation to the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous. Listen, I have 11 children. This is my baby over here. And those of you that have kids, you know what it's like when you want to feed them those god-awful peas on that are mushed up in that jar, and they don't want to eat them because they got more wisdom than you do. You want to feed them those peas, and they're like, mm-mm. And then you do this, you go, Daddy will eat them. mommy eat them or give them to your sister. And all of a sudden they're like, hey, wait, you know, and they want them. Why? Because you make them jealous. You make them want what you got. So my question that I ask Denny this week when I look in the mirror in the morning is, okay, the Christianity that I'm going to live today, is it going to make people want what I have? Is it going to make them jealous? Are they going to look at my life? Are they going to look at my family? Are they going to look at my conduct? Are they going to listen to what I say? And they say, man, I want some of that. I want that. Or are they going to look at me and say, gosh, if that's being a Christian, I don't want anything to do with it. You see, the biggest reason people become Christians is because they see another Christian. But the biggest reason people don't become Christians is because they see another Christian. Are you one of those flakes? One of the, I call them the granola Christians, the fruits and nuts and the flakes. Where your Christianity, you get up in the morning, you're, oh God, should I wear the blue shirt or the green shirt? Just put the orange one on. Oh, and everybody, somebody that always comes up to me and says, the Lord's telling me, the Lord's telling me, the Lord's telling me. You know, he didn't even talk to Moses that much. You scare me. And what that is that's the ace card. The Lord told me to do this. So you can't say God didn't. I'm like, oh, yes, I can. I hear from God, and he says, you're weird. Stop it. Shut up. You need to be in your prayer closet so people don't see you. You're weird. No, come on. Am I right? How many of you have seen those kind of Christians? I want to read a story to you out of the Bible. How many of you have your King James Version with you this morning? Anybody have a King James Version? All right, get it out. We're going old school. If you don't have a King James Bible, just leave your Bible shut. You won't understand what I'm saying if you're trying to follow along in your book and read this one. This was written in Elizabethan English, which Jesus never spoke English, let alone this stuff. But I want to read this to you. I like my Jewish friend. What's your name, sweetheart? Karen, I like you. Karen. Okay. Okay, Karen with an O. You're not weird, are you? Okay. Cool. Me and you, we're friends then. Kindred heart with Karen with an O. The O is for, oh my goodness. I want to read this to you. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man saith aught to you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put them their clothes, and they sat him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments on the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strew them on the way. And the multitudes went before, and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. That's the triumphal entrance that we talk about on Palm Sunday, when Jesus comes riding on a donkey, comes riding into town on a donkey, and people are throwing their palm branches and their jackets, and they're throwing them down, and they're screaming and hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna. It's his triumphant time. It's a great time in the life of Jesus. I mean, who wouldn't want to come riding on a donkey? Everybody else is walking, riding on a donkey, and everybody yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna. But I want to look at this from a different perspective. Because when I was a drug addict, I burnt my brain out on LSD, cocaine, drinking alcohol, whiskey, tequila. I burned all my brain cells out except one. And he is real busy. So we're not going to be deep sheep. We're not going to go deep theology this morning. And we're not going to go normal, because it takes 3 to 6 brain cells to do normal. I'm below normal. I want to look at this from the donkey's perspective. It sounds normal. Here's the donkey. Jesus says, go in town, get this donkey. Untie him. Let it go. And if anybody says it, what are you doing? Say, duh, God needs him. And they're like, could have had a V8. Why did I think of that? So I know, don't go steal someone's car. Don't steal my motorcycle and say God has need of it. I'm going to say, you're a liar. So here's this donkey that had never been ridden upon. The King James calls it an ass. You can say, he said ass in the pulpit. I think I did. Did I say ass in the pulpit? I did. In fact, I read it out of the Word of God. So he goes to the disciple goes to untie the ass. How many times are we tied up? We're bound. We're held down. And Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. And you're going to get some opposition. Because the owner is going to say, hey, it's my ass. What are you doing? And that's my colt with it. What are you doing? And you say, the Lord has need of him. In other words, God wants him. Because when we're bound, we're tied up, we're shackled in sin, we're owned by the enemy. We're owned by the devil. And somebody's got to come by and share the gospel with us and unbind us and let us go. And don't you think the devil's going to oppose it? He doesn't want to lose you. He didn't want to lose me. Dude, I was one of his best. He thought he had it all wrapped up. But somebody came by and said, the Lord needs Denny Nisley. And they unbound me. And they left me go. And the Bible says if Denny Nisley be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become new. It says if any man be in Christ Jesus, this is what happens. So God made a new creature out of me. But I'm not the thing that people would think, oh, this guy is going to change the world. It's like, this guy's going to barely be able to change his mind. But in 1 Corinthians 1:27, Jesus said that God will use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So he has the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, riding into town on a donkey that's never been ridden. Anybody ever break a horse in? Real easy, anybody? Man. So would it be fair to say that Jesus rode into town on a wild ass? Thank you. One guy said, yeah, the rest of you just laughed at me because I said what you were thinking. That's what he did. But think of the donkey. He said, ain't nobody ever rode me. I'm wild. This is my kid. This is my colt. I'm wild. Nobody rode me. And then all of a sudden he's being untied and people are throwing their jackets on him, and this long-haired, bearded guy, that's what Jesus was, long-haired, beard, probably hippie, going to sit on me. I'm a wild ass. He ain't sitting on me. But all of a sudden, Jesus sits on him, and the donkey's like, I think I'm just going to let this ride. Because the Bible doesn't say he threw him off, does it? But they start walking down. The donkey's like, dude, look what these people are doing for me. Dude, look what they're doing. I am a wise ass. I am a special donkey. Look at this. They're throwing their coats down. They're throwing palm branches down. They're singing Hosanna. They think I am somebody. And baby, I have arrived. I'm special. I'd even look better if I didn't have this hippie on my back. You agree I'm not normal? Thank you. And sometimes that's us. We're the donkey. Because Jesus, the Bible says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It says, know ye not that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? So when I get to build a house for Ronald Brown, when I get to hold hands and pray in Jesus' name with hell's angels, when I get to see 13-year-old youth group leaders filled with the Holy Spirit and go into ministry, what does that make me? I'm a donkey. I'm a carrier of the cure. I'm a carrier of the word. And it's not about me. It's not about Denny Nisley. I'm the drug addicted, alcoholic, criminal, pervert, moron, idiot that flunked Bible college. And when the teacher said, I got to repeat the next year so I can graduate, I told him, no, I think I'm going to drop out and go in the ministry. Telling you that one brain cell has got intense wisdom. And they said, you'll backslide. I said, it's not a matter, do I want to serve God or do I want to go back and do drugs? It's just, do I really care who Melchizedek was? If he was a foreshadow, after shadow, or no shadow, who cares? I felt like I didn't need to know all the theology because I know Jesus. And see, the devil traps us saying, you don't know enough. You haven't been to school. You haven't read the whole Bible. You don't understand Greek. Well, neither do I. I know Jesus. Paul was a great, learned guy. That dude was a brainiac. And he said, I count it all but rubbish to know Jesus. So if you know Jesus, you're a shoe-in. If you know Jesus, he can use you. Because when you go down and you think it's all about you, you turn from a wild ass into a dumb ass. You're just a stupid donkey. How many of you think you'll remember this message next week? God wants us to carry his son. God wants us to be loosed. God wants us to be untied. God wants us to be unfettered. God wants us to be owned by a new owner, Jesus, because he has need of us. You see, the Bible says if we don't praise God, the rocks will cry out. If we don't worship, the Bible says the trees of the field will clap their hands to him. But if we don't preach the gospel, nobody's going to hear. Nobody's going to hear. God needs you. You're all he's got. I know, it's scary, isn't it? It scares the bejesus out of me when I think I'm all he's got. But then as I read the scripture, I realize I'm all he needs. He doesn't need plan B. He doesn't need the rocks. He doesn't need the trees to proclaim the gospel. He just needs us. But he needs us. And without us, Austin's going to go to hell. If we don't praise God, the rocks and the trees will cover you. But if we don't preach Jesus, they're going to go to hell. And we will stand accountable for it. I'm not trying to condemn you. I just want you to know the truth. I got on an airplane one time. I preached at Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Went down there for 21 years. And I preached on the streets. I was worn out. And I was getting on the airplane to fly home. I just had some t-shirt on. I went to sit down on the plane. And the guy sitting beside me, as I went to sit down, he goes, "Shut up!" I said, "Dude, I didn't say nothing." He said, "I don't want to hear it." I'm like, "What don't you want to hear?" "Oh, I know who you are. I heard you up and down Bourbon Street with your big cross. God loves you. You need to repent of it." I said, "Well, at least you were listening." And I slouched down in my seat. I said, "That's fine with me. I'm tired. I want to go to sleep. If you want to go to hell, that's your choice. See you later." And I went like this. I was tired. Because you see, if he rejects Jesus, what's he got? No, he has something. It's, yeah, you can say it in church, brother. He's got hell. That's what he's got. He said, "Hey!" I said, "What?" He said, "You're a preacher. Why you tell me to go to hell?" I said, "Well, I didn't tell you to go to hell. I just said if you want to, that's your choice. You seem like an adult. You can make decisions. You're choosing to go to hell. That's fine with me, man. Just I won't go to sleep." And I was serious. I was so worn out. I didn't care at that point. I want to go to sleep. He badgered me because he was upset that I would allow him to go to hell. And I kept telling him, "I'm not allowing you. You're choosing that." By the time that plane landed in Denver, he was born again, smiling ear to ear. You see, there's a difference between preachers and, "You're going to go to hell, you filthy, rotten, no good for nothing sinner." Hallelujah. And just say, "Hey, you know what? I'd really rather you go to heaven because it's going to be cool. I told the Hell's Angels, I said, when you're here on earth, you have joy, peace, love, contentment. And then when you die, whether you like it or not, you got to go to heaven." That's the crux of Christianity. But if you tell somebody, say, "Hey, man, I really don't want you to, but if you're just bent on it, then you can go to hell. That's up to you." It whacks their brain. Because anytime somebody says, "Well, prove to me God's real," I'm like, "Dude, he is real. You prove he's not." And like, no, come on. I want to know. I want proof. I'm like, so do I. I want proof that he's not. Because I have staked my whole life on the fact that he is real. You're staking your whole life on the fact that he's not. You and I will end up in two different places. Have a nice flight. Oh, you can't. Never mind. All right. See you later. And let them live with their decision. Because when they have to own their own decision, all of a sudden the weight of their decision causes change in their heart. Does that make sense? And if a one brain cell guy can figure it out, you guys are a shoe-in. God wants to use you. He wants to use you in a powerful way. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, well, you came here for some reason. I don't know if it's to get somebody off your back, to appease your religious conscience. Maybe you stole something. You figure coming to church will, you know, weigh out your karma, your yin and your yang, or whatever you call it, you know. But you're here. And this is a place that's set aside for the life of God, for the Spirit of the Lord. And you know he's here. You know he's real. He wants to be real in your life. He wants you to know him. He wants you to allow him control of your life. That's called being a Christian. Telling him, "God, I know I'm a screwball." The Bible calls it a sinner. "And I'm sorry." That's called repentance. And I ask you to take charge of my life. Because honestly, your life really sucks right now. Think about it. Look at your life. You screwed it up. Don't tell me you haven't. I have people say, well, I'm a real nice guy. Well, the first three layers of hell is going to be nice guys. So you're a pillar of hell. You can't be nice enough to get to heaven. You're a sinner. A nice sinner. Why would you want to do that when you can walk by faith, when you can know that you have been forgiven, when you can know that you are loved, when you can understand or begin to grasp love and have that joy, peace, contentment, love, and then when you die, whether you like it or not, you go to heaven. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that? That's what's being offered to you here this morning if you don't know Jesus. If you do know Jesus, you need to be untied and let go. You need to be a wild ass. You need to be a carrier of the cure. You need to get into your community. You need to talk to your neighbors. You need to talk to the people at work. Because it's all about the guy on your back. It's not about you. It's not about your self-esteem. Jesus didn't get into Jerusalem and say, folks, I just want to honor this donkey that brought me in here. I just want you all to know that this donkey's never been ridden for. Donkey, you did a good job. Nice job. Thank you, folks. Give honor to the donkey because he carried me in. No, he's just like, okay, he's done. It's not about me. It's not about the pastor. It's about the guy on your back. Am I right? So that helps you get over your stupid pride. You know, people are going to think I'm weird. You are. People are going to think I'm a Jesus freak. That's cool. I'd rather be a fool for Christ than a fool for the devil. And if people start thinking, oh, this guy is just a sold out Christian, now all you got to do is live up to their expectations. They expect you to be a sold out Christian. Live up to their expectations. I think I just want to pray with you. I think God's stirring in some hearts, am I right? Just saying, whoa, this one hit home. This one hit home. But I want to pray with you. And I want to pray that you would make a heartfelt commitment to be a carrier of the cure. That you would make it all about Jesus and not about you and your nice car and your new home and all that stuff. Like Pastor said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Nothing wrong to have things. It's wrong when things have you. I got a nice motorcycle sitting out there. I love to ride it. But if God told me to give it away, I'd do it this afternoon because it's just a thing. It's just a thing. So Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in and through our lives. God, we thank you for your mercy and your compassion on us. God, we thank you that we get to be carriers of the cure. We get to carry you. We don't got to carry you. We get to carry you. And we thank you for it, Lord. And God, I pray that each person in here would make a conscious, concerted effort to carry you and make it about you and not about them. And for any person in here, God, that doesn't know you, Lord, if they should choose not to go to hell, and they should choose to serve you. God, let them seek somebody out in this church and say, hey, I don't want to go to hell. What do I got to do? That you make yourself real to them and bring them into the kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.